This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your money in the NBA, NHL, MMA, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code GOLFSGPN to get 100% deposit match. Good evening, everybody. It is late on the west, on the east coast. It's past 10 o'clock. My boy Cam is on the road. He was very nice enough to let me enjoy the dick punch that the Bruins just was for me. So we'll push the show on late. We got Cam here. Steve is at parts unknown still. So Cam's going to fill in and probably give some goddamn winners this week. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Not a lot at a hotel. So if my Wi-Fi is bad, that's probably why, but we're going to do the best we can and talk about this event and the shitty field that we got. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, Dieter, tell me about it, man. So like I was just telling Cam off air, so pre-series, I bet the Bruins to win in six and win in seven because we're a gutless fucking franchise and we constantly choke away. Good chances, but I panicked today with the new goalie and Matthews being out, and still didn't matter. We still choked it away. Swayman stood on his head. It was some of the sloppiest hockey I've seen in I can't even tell you how long. It was a goddamn joke. It was like peewee hockey out there, very stressful. Listen, Toronto is a bunch of goddamn losers, but I mean, as a Bruins fan, I mean, I'm throwing fucking. I shouldn't be throwing stones. Let's put it that way. Assholes. All right, so you're going to the tournament. So were you excited? You're going Thursday?
Yeah, man. I'm super excited. I wasn't planning on going to the Byron this year. I'm definitely going to go to the Charles Schwab at Colonial since they just renovated it this year. So definitely going to make a bigger deal out of going to that one. But it's only like $75. Damn. So I don't know. Like, yeah, to get into the Byron. I'm going to take my kids to the,
that's free, right?
I'm going to take my kids to Colonial. They get in free. So it's going to be fun. But yeah, definitely still excited to go. I've never been to a golf tournament on Thursday. I've only been on Sunday, and this might be a hot take, but golf, when you're like sweating and outright on Sunday,
it sucks.
And you have no service and you can't see what's happening around the course. Like that's not how I like to watch it. So
no, I had a chance to go back on Monday when Cam was finishing up that Monday Players. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm staying at the house. Like, I am not fucking going to that tournament. I won't finish watching
it at the house. Yeah. My first golf tournament was the Byron, I think 2 years ago. And Ryan Palmer had like a 8-footer for birdie, and these drunk OU frat boys that were sitting in front of me like screamed in his backswing, and I almost like dumped my drink on their fucking head because he literally like it was loud. Like he looked up at them and I don't know. And this was around the time that Liv was happening. So he's like, we're changing golf. Like, we're going to make it loud. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny that the amount of meatheads that fucking come out to golf tournaments. I'm always fucking surprised. Like, it's like, why are you here? Like, why are you here? And I'll hear him talking about, like, gambling. They'll be talking about, like, their $5 9-leg fucking 3-ball parlay. And I'm like, oh, yeah, fucking great.
Yeah, I mean, it's different when you're, like, rooting on a guy. But, like, if you're, like, you know, being obnoxious and yelling in backswings and stuff like that, it's another story. Like there was a guy not too long ago that was, you could tell, like, he had some serious money on this guy first round leader, and I don't remember who it was, but you could like hear him every hole when he made a putt. He was like screaming in the background. That's awesome.
That was like the guy following around Akshay the other week. You could tell he had outright on him. He was fucking pumped up, screaming his ass off every time he made something. It was hilarious.
I'll never forget that Byron, because I had Joaquin Neiman top 20, and this was after KH Lee already made the putt to win, and he was playing with him, and he like was on the green, and he had to putt after, so everyone followed KH Lee off. And I'm just sitting there, like, everyone's leaving, and I'm sitting there, like, sweating this, like, 10-footer for par, and he misses it, and I'm just, and I just fall to the ground.
Love that shit. Yeah, that was like I said, I think I said it when we did the recap of the Masters. It was fucking great when JT fucked up 18 and that number came down for the cut line and everybody was staring at it and it came up and it changed. Everybody cheered. I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. These are my people. These are my people who give a shit about a cut line. Let's go. All right. So we were talking offline about the weather. I haven't paid any attention to it. But before you tell me what the hell's going on with the weather, listen, it's the playoffs. We just saw the Bruins choke away a home game per fucking usual. But the NBA and the Hockey Gambling Podcast got episodes for you to get locked in on all the action. Plus, it's Derby Week, baby. We can all pretend we know what we're talking about with horses. Instead, just go listen to the Wolf of Oaklawn and the boys talk about it and just tail their picks. That's what I do every year because I'm not stupid enough to pretend I know anything about horse racing. So it'll get you guys ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. All right, talk to me about the weather.
All right, so weather report. All right, first thing you have to understand about Texas weather, it doesn't make any sense and it's wrong 90% of the time.
Sounds like everywhere else then.
Yeah, that's a good point. We need to hold these weathermen accountable for their terrible predictions.
What an easy job. That's what we all should have went into. We all should have just been meteorologists.
Yeah.
Like, pretending to do good at science class, be good on camera, and just pick wrong. I mean, that's basically what I do now. So I might as well just been a fucking meteorologist.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like trading stocks, except you're not held accountable for anything. You're not held accountable for losses. So it looks like rain in the morning and we got in Dallas, Fort Worth, especially where I live in Southern Dallas. We got about a foot of rain over this weekend.
Jesus fuck. 12 inches of
rain. Yes. I'm not even exaggerating. Like roads were shut down because of flooding. Like we got a ton of rain and the rain here this morning, Thursday morning, it looks like it's going to be mainly before the tournament starts. Right. But I mean, still like in the morning, there's a 50% chance. But one thing I do remember about, we went on Saturday last year to the Byron and they were predicting rain. So we brought like umbrellas, like raincoats, and it was sunny and like 90 degrees the whole day. So we got to take this with a grain of salt. But I think there is a good chance we see some rain like early in the morning on Thursday. So these greens are going to be really receptive. And I think we're on 59 watch. Like if someone gets hot.
Christ. I heard that it was in terrible fucking shape though.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if there's any truth to that. I feel like Jeff would have said something.
Like, I didn't listen to him on BK last night. Did he not say anything?
No, I didn't. I mean, I just follow him on Twitter, so I didn't listen to Tap and Birdie, but I feel like he would have tweeted something out about it because he played there like last week.
He plays there all the fucking time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna be pissed if he doesn't get me in the suite this year. We like met up and like we were at the suites, and he's like, "Hey, I tried to get you in, but we're
Have you already talked to him about it?
Yeah, I already did. I'm like, all right, look, okay. I got the first round leader. And I'll give it to you, but only if I'm in the suite. You're such an asshole. Like I know who it is, but I'm not going to give it to you unless you get me in the suite.
I don't give a shit. I don't care about Friday, Saturday, Sunday yet. Like that's too far out. Like I feel like Texas is probably like Florida in the summertime. It's going to thunderstorm at some point during the day. Who cares? It's an hour. Everybody stays inside and then we're good
to go. Yeah, I think we're good to go. But I am excited. I am going to bring an umbrella because even if it doesn't rain, it's still good for the sun. So the Texas sun in May. So
you fucking seriously, you walk around with an umbrella to keep the sun off you?
Yeah, man. Well, probably not right now because I've been walking a lot of golf recently. Oh, and I play golf by myself a lot.
No one cares about your 85. No one cares.
No. I'm on the road, I play golf by myself. And I usually get paired with pretty cool people or like I ask to join up with some guys or whatever. But I have never got one of these guys until yesterday. I got the guy that wants to like fix your swing and your putting stroke.
Dude. You've never gotten like, that before? That's the worst.
No, dude. And just like a random dude. I understand if it's like one of your buddies that you play with all the time and you like, you know
their swing.
About your swing. Yeah. But this guy was like, here, let me show you this tip on a putter grip. Cause I think I like just like, I like hit a green in reg and on a par three. And then, you know, it was, you know, 40 feet out and three putted. Yeah. And he was like, let me show you this. Let me show you the putter grip. And then we joined up with two more guys a hole later and he showed it to them as well. Okay. And I was like, oh my God.
When I play alone, I make sure I have my fucking earbuds in. I'm like in my own car. I'll decide if I want to, like, they'll always try to talk to you. And like some people, man, I'm just like, I'm good. I'll seem like the standoffish dickhead. I don't care. Like I'll just listen to my tunes and fucking play.
I'm normally like that. Like I'm more introverted. Like I refresh like by myself.
You're not introverted. You're a sales guy just like I am, but you talk for a living. The last thing you want to do is have to fucking be on when you're trying to get time alone.
So yeah, but I don't recover. Like my wife is extroverted. Like she recovers by going out with her friends. I recover by like sitting in my room and like playing video games or going by myself and playing golf. Like,
I've met some
cool people and like I still like keep up with some of them, just random, you know, random times I go out, I'll text them.
I got a couple weirdos like that I talk to as well.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty cool to meet up and play golf with people because a lot of times I don't even talk. I'm focused on golf, man. Like I want to shoot. Mm-hmm. I want to go low. So I don't even talk a lot with them. We just, you know, shoot the shit. But all right, let's get to our bets. I think we decided we were going to do it a little bit differently. Normally we go down the odds board. I'm not going to be able to fill in for Steve. Like and luckily like this course, you don't really have to same hole every single time
over and over and over again. Super boring, birdie fest, fucking blah, 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 blah. No one likes this course, fucking 25 under. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. I will say that hole 15 is like a par three over water. It's just a gorgeous hole. If you just sit at it, it's a nice hole. And then I like 14, the drivable par four. I just remember, I'm like, all right, like this is drivable par four. And Cam Champ gets up there and pulls like 3-wood. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy.
Is that where your fucking money pit started with fucking Scam Champ?
No. I like him because he's an Aggie, and at the time, like he was the only Aggie on tour besides Ryan Palmer, and Ryan Palmer was kind of, you know, past my time. But Cameron and I actually went to AM together.
Christ, you act like he's 60. He's like fucking 38, if that. I don't even think he's that old.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, but when he was in his 20s, I was like 10, or I was like,
that's 13, how math worked.
So, but yeah, we went to A&M together, so that's why I like him. But we can start there.
Ryan Palmer's 47. Jesus Christ, he's a fucking older than I am by a lot.
Yeah, he's pretty old, but he played well last week.
Yeah, he plays good in Texas. Fucking whatever, but I'm top 20, I guess.
In the South. We can start there, though. I actually reached out to, I mean, we're not affiliated with Sportsbook, so I can say them, but Bovada, they have a feature where you can request like wagers, and all you literally have to do is tweet them, and it's done in like 10 minutes. Yeah. And so I did an Aggie make the cut parlay. We have Bronson Burgoon, Cam Champ, Chandler Phillips, Ryan Palmer, all to make the cut, 18-1.
No, that's not bad. I don't hate that.
18-1. I put $67. I drained the rest of my account on it to win $1,200.
I think I still got money over on Bovada. I stopped because I don't give me a hassle for fucking like paying out. I think I didn't end up getting all my money out. It was fucking, I don't know,
whatever. Yeah. So they moved it to 16-1 after that, but you can still bet it. And I think Matt's trying to get up a make the cut parlay as well, but that'll be.
Yeah, I had to mute that text chain in fucking overtime hockey. You two fucking assholes texting back and forth. Right? I muted it, so I'll go back and look at it.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fun one for Friday. Do you want to start first round leaders or do you want to start outrights?
Let's go outrights because I haven't even looked at first round leaders yet. But before we do that, let's just go ahead and pay the bills, man. Listen, the NBA playoffs are here and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. It's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick 'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all your basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports. You win 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. So pull up, go check out Underdog Fantasy. I get the champions thing down here in Florida. So if you listen in Florida, we still have access to it, thank God. It's a little different, but it's still higher or lower stuff. I really don't notice the difference that much. It's great. So, but listen, go check them out. I put out a hockey one that died today because the Bruins suck. But I'll throw out a golf one probably tomorrow. Like I said, it's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And they just launched Champions in their player-versus-player format in Florida. So make sure you sign up with code GOLFSGPN. And Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy. Promo code GOLFSGPN. All right, so who you got? Let me pull up my.
All right, I got breaking news. Let me share my screen. We have tea times.
Oh, nice.
We have tea times, boys and girls. Before we start, who should I follow? Thursday, round one. I'm going to follow Carson. And we can start there. Carson 300-1. And also first round leader, top 10 and first round leader. And top 20. Oh, I'm betting Carson all the way. The last time, people don't forget, the last time I followed Carson, he went out and shot like a 62.
Oh, so, God. This field is fucking.
Yeah. This field is ass. Round leaders in.
The 7:35 tee time is the tee time. My boy Camillo, Tom Kim, and Mackenzie Hughes, and they're right before fucking Day, Spieth, and Sunday, who are going to get everybody. So you're going to be able to dodge the crowds a little bit, stay in front of them.
Oh yeah, this group's going to be huge. Unfortunately, I live like an hour away, so I'm hoping Carson is in the afternoon. And I can just kind of get here and follow someone. I wanted to follow Will Z, but he dropped out. I mean, Ryan Palmer's at 7:12. Like, that's way too early. I'd have to wake up at like 5:30 in order to
get. Listen, when I go to a golf tournament, I get there ass crack in the morning because nobody's there, man. It's the best time you can follow around. Like, even at the players, like when I go, like I go super early and like nobody's like I follow Rahm's group around. It was like me and like 30 people. Great.
Yeah, I don't know who these guys are. Chris Goddard would be fun. Watch him hit bombs.
Just follow Villegas, Kim, and Mackenzie Hughes when you get there, and then pick up Carson later on and just pick a hole, I guess.
Maybe. Cam's here.
You want to watch that? Fuck that.
Dude, but Cam...
West Bryan sees him, baby. He's a first round leader, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's a good group right there, honestly.
That's not bad.
But Cam's just like, he has no personality, at least
nobody on the PGA Tour has personality. That's the problem.
Yeah. All right. Where is Carson?
We got Jiwoo KH and fucking Adam Scott.
Jake Knapp, Luke List.
Oh, fuck that. Go Jiwoo KH, Lee, and Adam Scott. I was talking to Joe.
That is
Adam Scott. That routine that I saw on the green or on the practice, like Sam Bucker's and all that shit, the chipping area at Augusta was fucking insane. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
Dude, that is a great group.
Yeah, that's a good group.
Holy cow. And then you have Jake Knapp, Stefan Jaeger, all the three of these guys, and then Tommy Dietz. Oh, dude. I mean, I'll go out with Tommy Dietz and just sit at my favorite hole for a while and just watch all these guys come up.
Yep. Ooh, right. Sun Kang's back, baby. First round leader time. Seamus Power's with a shitty group. Oh, he's with Joel. So,
where's Carson? Carson noon
with
noon with my boy with Richie Wierenski, South Carolina. Have you ever
been to Aiken? Have you ever been to Aiken, South Carolina? Dude, what a fucking vibes. Small hellhole that is.
Vibes, baby.
No. All right. Well, have fun with all these bums following around. All right. Who you got for outrights?
All right. All right. Well, we can start there. I got Adam Scott at 28-1.
Okay. Yeah. Joe liked him too. And yeah, Joe liked him too. He's a good long iron player. He's putting his ass off. The only thing I worry about is around the green does not fucking matter here, it seems like.
Well, so relative skill set chart on Data Golf says that it does. And I think that's just because it's
Data Golf sucks. I've told Steve this all fucking year. Data Golf is worth the toilet paper you wipe your ass with at this point.
Well, I mean, it makes sense though. Like, if you're rolling putts, I mean, yeah, it's a birdie.
It's not around the green. If you're missing the green, you're fucking dead here. You're dead because you have to be making putts. You're going to win at 25 under.
Yeah, I mean, he is putting his ass off though.
He
putts super well at in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And then he played really well at Augusta. Like, I don't know. I like
it. Yeah, listen, I don't fucking hate it at all.
But who do you got in the 20s?
That's the shortest guy you got?
And then I Stefan Jaeger. Stefan Jaeger at 28 as well.
All right. So I'm never a Jaeger guy. I never will be. I bet Tom Kim. Seems like he's rounding the form a little bit. I got him at 30-1. I like him at 35 better, which like, a lot of people got him at, but other than Florida, so what are you going to do? But Tom Kim, look, he's a guy who can make the pots. I can see him winning a birdie fest. He's won 3 times on tour. He's 30-1 with a bunch of these fucking bombs. Like, it is what it is. Like, I'll bet him 30-1.
What's up with him, though? Like, dude, he hasn't been the same.
He's been fine the last couple fucking tournaments.
Cut in San Antonio. He put
T30 at the Masters, top 20 at RBC.
Yeah,
and I don't know what anybody did last weekend.
Yeah, that's another complaint I have about this event. Like, you're going to give us an ass field, and then the two events preceding this one have no strokes, like strokes data, like no shot tracking, like.
But whatever, I think he'll be fine. And look, I'd rather be early on a guy like this who actually is a proven winner here. Don't get to be super long. Listen, distance always fucking helps, right? Well, off the tee is still his struggle. He's a guy who can get white hot with the putter. I mean, that's just is what it is. I don't care about around the green here. His approach game's fine. So
you didn't even mention the angle on Tom Kim.
What was that?
Dallas boy.
Oh Christ! I don't care about that shit.
And maybe maybe he had to babysit Scotty's son.
maybe.
While he was at the hospital. Doesn't he have 2 kids now?
Who?
Did Scotty already have a kid, or is this baby his first?
This is his first kid.
Oh. Oh, I'm thinking of Jordan. I'm thinking of Jordan Spieth. He babysits Jordan Spieth's kids.
I don't know.
Not,
I don't keep track of fucking PGA players' kids.
No. I just remember them saying he like babysits for them. 21 years old. Holy crap.
Who's 21? Oh yeah, Kim. I know he's a fucking kid, man. Like,
yeah,
he goes bad a little bit, and everybody wants to jump off. The kid won fucking 3 times before he could legally be able to drink. Like, he's gonna fuck up a little bit. He's gonna mess with his confidence. Seems like he's rounding back into form. I feel like 30-1 is more than a fair number in this garbage ass field. So
yeah. All right. Next guy I have is at 40 range. Mm-hmm. I love this pick. He's been putting super duper well. And he just was T2 at the Houston Open and just played really well in New Orleans. Tommy Dietz, baby. Thomas Dietry. I've never seen him and Matt Gannon in the same room, but if Matt was like 5 years older, they
could 90% less tattoos.
Yeah, and 90% less tattoos. And didn't come over the top in his golf swing, he could be Tommy Dietz, dude. And I've told him this before.
Dietrich does not win. He can't win on the DP Tour. He's not winning fucking here. We want to talk about 54-hole leader. Cash the fuck out if they give you the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 45.
Toronto Maple Leafs of DP golfers.
I definitely like him.
I'm fine with a placement on him. I've wasted so much money on fucking Dietry over the years. I just can't. Like, so look, I always say this to anybody who listens to me. I have scar tissue on certain players. certain players I have biases on. So I'm not going to give you a fucking fair opinion on them. And Dietrich is one of them. I've lost too much money on him, and I think he's a fucking loser.
Respectful to admit that, yeah.
So what did you get him at? 45?
45, and then I have one other guy at 45, Mackenzie Hughes.
All right, so I have Mackenzie too. I don't know who infected me with this fucking disease, but I bet him like fucking four times in this year, and he's given me a sweat like three of the four times, but he's a loser, and it makes me mad.
Yeah, has he ever won?
Mackenzie Hughes, yeah, he's won.
Okay.
I say that confidently, but I have no fucking idea.
See, this is why we need Steve.
Yeah, I feel like he won. Yeah, he's definitely won. I think he took Steve's money 1 year. And look, I don't mind Shank, Dieter. But we're just kind of jumping around the board right now.
Yeah, Dieter, I was actually going to mention Shank because after I saw your message about him, I don't know what he's at outright. I didn't bet him outright, but after you mentioned him, I like looked into him a little bit, and I actually like it.
He's got two wins on tour. He's won RSM and Sanderson, so there this lines up right with those. Right with those types.
All right. I actually looked into, did a little research.
Oh, that's where he stole Steve's money. Steve had Straka at the same time.
I remember that.
Yeah, me too.
But Adam Shank. So Adam Shank, he actually plays pretty well on, he's placed pretty well in a couple different birdie fests. And he played really, I think he had like a top two at Detroit Golf Club, which is a good comp course for this place.
Yeah, he stinks.
So no.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes, he does. He stinks here.
Oh, you're right. That was what I was going to mention is he hasn't really placed well here ever in 10 rounds. He got cut last year, but he is, I think, minus 120 over Maverick McNealy, who's just been playing like ass. And so I bet that.
McNealy's got those magic beans, man.
And but I mean, his course history is just as bad as his here. So or as Shank, so I like that. I like that for one of my matchups. But did you have anyone else in like the 40s?
No, so the next closest one I have is I got him at 80-1. I took Seamus Power. I've been him all fucking year. We got four top 20s here. He's in good form. He's cashed a couple long shot. Zach Johnson, fuck you, dirt. Look, he's playing really well this year. He's cashed a 5-1, 4-1 top 20 for me. Four top 20s here. He's won on the PGA Tour. Seems like he's coming back a little bit. His weakness is definitely off the tee, which I don't think fucking matters here. I love Seamus Power. I've been betting him. I hate the fact that all of a sudden he's popular. I've been betting him all year at 200 and fucking 250-1, and now he's fucking 80, and they've down steamed all the way down like 60 and 50. Like, that doesn't make me feel. That doesn't give me a warm and fuzzies, but like,
yeah,
I bet at 80. I like it.
Yeah. So Matt talked about him on his show last night, and he was saying that same exact thing. He's like, he thinks he's going to be like 18% owned in DFS. Like, ugh,
gross.
Like, he's just gaining so much steam after last week too, playing well again. Like,
well, dude, he was in position to win until Keith Mitchell put that fucking stink on him. And he was paired up with him, and Mitchell was seeing every part of the fucking golf course, and fucking and Seamus couldn't get into a fucking rhythm.
Yeah,
250-1 there.
So this is the most tip chart, and I don't really think this has anything to do with how golfers actually play, because we see community wins all the time. But like, Peter Quest, why are people tipping Peter Quest? He doesn't even have a tour card.
Yeah, I mean, so here, let me pull it up. I think he pops in people's models.
Yeah, he definitely does. But like, his around the green.
Yeah, so birdie. I don't care about around the green. So 200 plus, he's good. Birdies are better. He's good. I mean, he's 29th in my haphazard model. Yeah, I mean, fucking ninth in Corrales, 10th at Valero, 13th at RSM. Look, I know it's the RSM shouldn't count, but I mean, look, it's fucking, I don't know. I mean, it is what it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, I bet Jake, man. I bet Jake Knapp at 80. If I'm going to bet him at 40 when he won, like, I'm going to bet him at 80 in this field. But yeah, Seamus is on here. Adam Shank's on here.
So I guess with Cust, right? So, Joe made a good point when I was talking to him last night. Like, these Corn Ferry guys go out here and play these tournaments where it's a birdie fest and it's just win or nothing. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. So they have the mindset where they can shoot at the pin. And I kind of like that.
Yeah, I like that. Like,
okay, that makes sense. That made a lot of sense to me as far as like why guys like this can win. But yeah, I hate seeing Seamus. Like, literally, I was fucking betting him at 250 to 1. Nobody was fucking talking about him at all. Now he's fucking most hip.
Yeah, yeah. And then Sam Stevens. You're a Sam Stevens guy, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes?
Sometimes.
90 to 1. And he is sick in Texas. Like,
is he?
Oh, yeah. Matt said that he's gained like, I think he's like top five in strokes gained in just Texas events and just always plays well. T14 at Valero, and T57 in Houston. But he plays very well in most Texas events. He
went to OSU.
He went to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Shout out Oklahoma. And
shit, dude, he's made like $3 million since last year. Wild.
I know, right? Like, I want to ask Carson about that because, like, when we first met him, it was like he made like I think altogether like $20,000. And then after the Byron Nelson, when I willed him with my own two hands to a 62 to get a top 20, he won like $160,000. And I'm like, that's got to be cool. Like, for these kids, you know?
Fuck, yes, of course. What do you mean?
I don't know. Just right, funny.
Dude, fucking Carson's won over $2 million. 48 events, yeah. $2 million.
Yeah, well, if you get that one win, like you just said, like, I really like that angle, actually. Like, if they win, they get their tour card for how long?
Yeah, but it's not even that. So they're used to playing these tournaments on the Corn Ferry Tour where they're not trying to stack like a top 10. Yeah, they're trying. They have to go out and win, right? So they're super aggressive and go after the pins.
Yeah, and then if you win on tour, if you win an event, like, and then you get to keep it much longer, right? Is that how it works?
Yep, absolutely. All right, who else you got? You got anybody else under 101?
No one else under 100. Chandler Phillips, 125. He might be the best Aggie we're gonna have. Like, he's been playing awesome.
Ragoon's all right.
Yeah, but like Chandler just kind of popped up this year and has finished. He had a T3 at the Valspar, T20 in Mexico. Sorry, T25 in Mexico, T25 at the Amex, T20 last week. Like, he might be good.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, I don't hate it. No, so the only other guy I bet sub 100 was 71 Hubbard, just because he's whatever. He's Hubbard. His fucking tee to green numbers look so good all the time. And who knows? Maybe he'll catch fire. He's a decent player in this shitty field. And I'll take a good golfer over some fucking bum who's right around him.
Thank you, Byron. He might be good.
He might be good. I feel like we say that about a lot of guys.
Andy's an Aggie. And he plays well in Texas too. So, but I'm just going to bet him because he's an Aggie too. The only Aggies I didn't bet were Bronson and Cam Champ. I don't think Cam Champ's actually going to win this.
No, he fucking stinks, dude.
I think he'll make the cut though.
Okay.
Ryan Palma. You like, is that a good boss?
You really bet him to win, dude? Did you really bet him to win?
Yeah, he almost won last year.
He's not winning, dude.
He almost won last year. He was in the final group with Scotty.
And then what happened?
Jason Day won. But
Ryan Palma's not winning. He's not winning.
Ryan Palma and then Carson.
Right. Who else? That's it?
That's it.
I might bet Cass. I have to. I guess I got to bet Cassin with you just in case he does win. So I bet Novak because I've been betting this fucking scrub.
I like that.
He dick teased me on the that stupid team event too, and I just fell off. Toasty because I like him. Like I said, I didn't know who the fuck he was until he. I saw him on Sunday against Scotty, but I really enjoyed his play. I went and dug in a little deeper. I like the angle of the Korn Ferry guys, and I like the stats that I could find on him. Schmid, same thing, just another loser I keep fucking betting. So I'm not going to stop now because he could definitely win in this field. And all these guys are 100 or more one, depending on where you're looking at. And yeah, that's it. That's my card. That's it for my outrights.
Yeah, if you're listening for the first time, Steve is usually the stats numbers guy on the podcast, and Boston Capper and I are usually the ones that are just like, yeah, that number seems pretty good. Oh yeah, he's pretty good. Bet it.
Probably. Yeah, I look into it. Here's the deal. I can't get juiced. Like I've been honest about it. Like I can't get juiced up for these events. Like next week I'll be fucking locked in. Like I love Quail Hollow. So like I'll be in on that. I've had success at that tournament. I know the course real well.
There's something to the fact that you like bet with your gut too. Like I think you have to be good at golf betting, you have to bet with your gut too. Like it's
just look at stats.
Oh, sorry, Matt Gannon is our numbers guy. Matt's our tattoo guy, actually.
That's our tattoo guy. That's our young buck. That's what he is. He loves numbers. And you're a degenerate too, Matt. You're not just a numbers guy. You're a fucking gut guy too. But yeah, I mean, look, you can't use the stats because strokes gain doesn't measure fucking balls. It just doesn't. And I don't care. You can never bake that in. Clutch is real. David Ortiz is real. Tom Brady is real. Like Montana is real. Jordan's real. All these fucking things are real. They're unquantifiable, which makes nerds very upset because they can't stick it in their fucking algorithm. But it's real. And guys have to pass the eye test. There's people who shit down their leg on Sundays or on Saturdays when they have a lead. And that's a real fucking thing.
So, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jordan McGregor, I love that. Fucking Sheamus -125 over fucking literally Cro-Magnon man, Bo Hostler. Like he looks like the one of the missing link people when you go through science class in fucking elementary school.
So do you want to do matchups or? Oh, you said you haven't done first round leaders yet.
Mm-mm, I haven't done shit. Go ahead. I've been focused on Bruins all day.
Yeah. So a lot of people say that you shouldn't do first round leaders until you see the tee times. And one of my favorite.
I never do the tee times.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments on Twitter, like I put out my first round leader card and BK replied and was like, first round leaders before the tee times, and then I hit the first round leaders. And then Matt replied like immediately, like right after the event ended, was like, so does it really matter?
it doesn't matter, right? But it definitely gives you a little more information. But it's a first round fucking leader. It's not like there's only so much they can work here, right? Like how close are they in the first round? How many times they come into it?
Yeah, and you follow the first round leader Twitter account, right?
Yeah,
he puts together like all the first round like scores.
Yeah, I used to do that shit on my own until he existed.
Yeah, yeah. And so I look at them, but honestly, like some guys just pop on the odds board as first round leader guys, and I haven't been betting a whole lot of first round leaders this year, but I'm gonna be there on Thursday, so I got to.
You have to.
So first one, and I'm glad he's kind of off in the morning. I might go watch him a little bit, but friend of the show, Chris Goddard up at 110. And then a lot of my outrights, I bet first round leader. So Adam Scott, Stefan Jaeger. And then I added Ben on. I don't know why I think he was a first round guy. And again, I bet these before I actually did any research. So these are more like gut bets. Mm-hmm. Sam Stevens, Ryan Palmer. He was T5 last year.
Yeah.
CT Pan, Aaron Rye, legendary first round leader guy.
That is a goddamn myth. He fucking
no
sucks.
I've cashed like two or three first round leaders off.
You cashed two or three first round leader fucking Aaron Rye tickets.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No, fucking lies. Don't lie to the people, Ken.
70 to 1, and then I'm bet KH Lee here.
KH Lee, TPC Lee. Who cares?
Yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot of him. Like, I feel. I mean, Matt told me he's gained like 26. Or Matt on his show last night said he's gained like 26 strokes. I think total strokes here at this course, which is just insane.
Yeah. I mean, he's got two wins here in fucking 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah. He's gonna have good
stuff. I wanna have a little piece of him. And then I bet some T10 first round leaders on Bovada. Just guys I knew I would be following, like Carson, and then like Ryan Palmer, stuff like that.
Valspar occasionally pops. Valspar, he pops.
Yeah, I think they're good bets too, honestly.
He's
like,
he's like chipping in everywhere. But yeah.
On Bovada, you don't pay dead heat. So
yeah,
you might pay a little bit more, but not getting dead heated is just an amazing thing.
So. Not being dead heated is such key. Not only just for first round leads, but for your fucking placements too, man. If you guys can find a book wherever you don't get dead heated, there is nothing more frustrating than getting dead heated. I mean, obviously, other than losing. But
yeah, you got it. You got anything else as far as like placements, matchups?
No. So I'll post all that shit tomorrow. Placements I'm going to do. Hold on, pull it up. So I got Schmid top 20, Toasty top 10, top 20, Novak top 20, Powers top 10, top 20, Mackenzie Hughes top 10, Tom Kim 5 and 10. Did you hear me?
No, sorry, you broke up there.
Oh, all right. So I did Schmid top 20, Toasty top 10, top 20, Novak top 20, Seamus 10 and 20, Mackenzie Hughes 10, Tom Kim 5 and 10.
Nice. I haven't put down any placement yet, but I feel like I have a lot of matchups, so I might not. Besides Carson top 20. Cashed that for me last year. All right. Some of these matchups you're probably not going to like, but I'm going to read them off. Adam Scott over Alex Noren plus 108.
Fine. Love that. Noren's a fucking loser. Fine. Perfect.
Yeah. So I was talking to Nagels about this, and it was hilarious because I was sitting here doing research, and I was like, why? We always say like Texas guys play well in Texas, but a lot of other guys play well in Texas. Like, everyone's like, oh, Texas guys play well in Texas. But also, Koreans play well in Texas. Oh, but Stefan Jaeger, the German, just won in Texas. Like, so I don't know if that narrative is actually, like, good. But a lot of people are saying, like, you know, Nagels mentioned Alex Noren. I think Adam Scott's going to play well. So I just like that at plus money, plus 108. Davey Tom over Ben Griffin minus 127.
I'm fine with the other way you said his fucking name, like you're my 20-year-old daughter,
dude. Matt has been rubbing off on me way too much with these names. Davis Thompson,
speak like an adult.
Sam Stevens over Justin Lauer at plus 113. Justin Lauer,
I like Lauer.
Yeah, looking back on that one, that one kind of makes me nervous, but I do think Sam Stevens is going to play really well. So
I like that. I'm going to dig in a little bit on Stevens after you give that nugget.
Yeah, but Justin Lauer has good course comp history. Ryan Palma over Kevin Tway.
I'm fine with that one.
I think Baroff bet Kevin Tway at like 300 to 1, and I was like,
Baroff always bets some fucking 300 to 1 losers.
Okay, plus 108. A lot of these are just like the odds are pretty good, like plus money for these guys in this field. Tommy Dietz over Tom Kim, plus 108.
Oh, you know, that's a terrible odds for that fucking matchup.
I mean, Tom Kim's what, 20 to 1?
I think he's 30 to 1, yeah.
30-1. Tommy Dietz is 45, 50-1.
Dietrich sucks at fucking closing anything. I'm surprised his electric bill must be $9,000 a month because he can't close a fucking door. Never mind a golf.
All right, this would be our cut bet right here.
All right, what you got?
Tom Kim versus Tommy Dietz. Stefan Jaeger over Hoagie. I think Hoagie is just getting way too much shock.
But I don't like Jaeger. I think he stinks.
Yeah, Dieter, I bet Jake Knapp. My reasoning was just like, I mean, I think he's going to play, like, I think he's a good course fit here. And if I bet him at 40-1 when he won, like, I'm going to bet him at 80-1.
You just like his biceps. That's all you like, Kim.
Yeah, I might follow him, actually. I'm going to look up his tee time. I might see if I can follow him if he's not with Carson or not at the same time as Carson. And then I added Shank over McNeely.
I like that one. I like Shank over McNeely a lot. That's a good one. I'll have to remember that one. I like that one. I'll come up with some matchups. I've been kind of light on matchups this year. I feel like the books have gotten a lot sharper on fucking who they match.
Yeah.
It's irritating.
Yeah, Matt doesn't bet matchups because he says they're too sharp. Like, there's not really an edge.
And there really isn't.
If you look at every single matchup, it's like they make them hard choices.
They do.
Yeah. Like,
and there's still soft markets in golf, so there's no reason to fucking just get cute to get cute. Like, even like that three ball, they don't have control over their three ball matchups because they match up who's playing in that round. They control the odds.
Yeah. I just like
who they can match up.
Yeah, I like matchups more than placements for some reason. Like, just the head to head nature of it is more like picking a football game, I guess.
Yeah, so I used to too, but I'm telling you, man, over the last like year and a half, like, they've gotten a lot sharper. Like, I used to crush the fucking matchup market. Like, that was like, I would never do placements. I'd be like, Steve, I'm not doing any placements. All I'm doing is matchups.
Yeah.
And I have almost completely fucking switched. Like, I do way more placements than I do matchups.
Huh. I mean, we asked Jeff Benson about that. That was one of the questions that you asked him. Yeah. And he didn't really, looking back on it, he didn't really give you a good answer.
No.
Like, it's like they're trying to keep their, like, techniques a secret. But
yeah.
I bet you these guys are, like, super nerds back there, like, that he's got.
Wait, the guy's setting fucking lines? Yes, of course they're nerds. They're not betters.
The matchup lines, I mean.
Yeah. All right. Well, fucking, all right. Well, Cam, fucking thanks for coming on, filling in for Steve. You got anything else for the peoples?
Go follow us at Golf Gambling Podcast. Follow Chris at Boston_Capper on Twitter. Follow us on TikTok. Check out Chris's beautiful TikTok that we posted today. Use promo code GolfSGPN when you sign up for Underdog Fantasy. And then keep an eye out for me on the course on Thursday.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll have to say, I'll talk to you offline and see if you're going to wear anything obnoxious that we can see you on. But yeah, so go follow the YouTubes as well. Me and Steve will be back tomorrow night, as far as I know, to talk about the LIV tournament. Other than that, we're almost a good stretch, baby. We got some majors coming up. We got Quail coming up. We got some really good golf tournaments coming up. So let's try to sharpen the skills, make a little money before that comes to fruition. And with that, go Bruins. Fuck Toronto.